Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Robert Yeager and the Tau Foundation.
Live from the Dankowski Building, it's America's favorite game.
You must choose.
So, is it Leo DiCaprio or Tom Cruise? Olives or pickles? Meryl Streep or Kate Hepburn? Chocolate chip cookies or brownies? Find out when our demonic host Jacques Lamar confronts his panel of non-experts. And now, because all the good sidekicks were taken, Colin McEnroe.
That's right, Kion Wolf. And we welcome today to play our wonderful game, Rich Holland, a principal at CoLab, founder of Free Center and commissioner on cultural affairs for the city of Hartford, Julia Rosenblatt, a playwright, director, actor, theater educator, and co-founder of Heartbeat Ensemble. And now your host, the guy who's both opposed to and in favor of bear hunting, Jacques Lamar.
Thank you for having me here today on the Jacques Lamar Show, Colin. I'm very excited to be here because this is I've been on the Colin McEnroe Show a number of times, but this is the first time where it's sort of, but not really, been about me. I have invented a game that I've been doing on my Facebook page for over a year now. Called You Must Choose. And the genesis of this game is I have a bunch of friends who are really into fantasy football. And I had started on my Facebook page a fantasy 70s TV variety show league. And I faced off different 70s variety shows against each other. By the way, it was a rout. Carol Burnett won by a landslide. But people were really enjoying debating the various merits of the different shows. And so it kind of led into trying to do other brackets. And I found that people liked the first round but started to get bored by the second round. And attention would sort of wane and participation would drop off. So I just started doing one-day competitions between things where people just have to choose between item A or item B. And I decide what items go up against each other and why they make sense. And so every day I do something different on my Facebook page with the phrase, "You must choose," and it's at least two images of things that people can choose. Sometimes it's gone up to as many as 8 different items when it was the Oscar Best Picture. But generally it's 2 items.
And people argue. People argue in the comments, and you know.
People argue. There are some people who refuse to choose. People will say, "I'm not choosing." Today, people have been saying, you know, that I'm a horrible person because I put 2 items together that they cannot choose. Some people will say, you know, "You're comparing apples and oranges." So one day I did a "You Must Choose" of apples versus oranges. And people were very divisive about that seminal issue. So Colin was very nice, along with his team, to invite me on today to lead a round on the radio. This has never been done before, of You Must Choose.
So we're going to try to do as many as we possibly can. I should say, after you get the hang of it, if you want to call in, I don't know that there's a hang of it that you can really get, but 860-275-7266, 860-275-7266. Operators are standing by to take your call. Actually, Betsy Kaplan is standing by to take your call. So I think just throw one at us and see how we do.
All right. So this first segment, we're going to do kind of a potpourri of food and potential other items. Some of them that I've already done before on my page, so our panelists may already have opinions on these things, and possibly 1 or 2 things that have never been done before that they will be confronted with for the first time live.
Oh, my God.
All right. It's a lot of pressure. All right. So this is one that has been done before. There was a lot of activity surrounding it. You must choose dogs versus cats.
Julia, you want to go first?
All right. I'm so sorry to my childhood dog, Socko, rest in peace, but I got to go with cats.
Do you have a cat?
I do have a cat, and they're just so much easier, and right now that's what my life is about.
All right. I'll go next, and then Rich can kind of clean up here. So for me, it's dogs. If I want ambivalence, I have people that I can deal with, you know. And if you told cats, you know what, I didn't choose you, they go, BFD, we're not that into you anyway. We're really, like, what do we care? But whereas a dog would be crushed.
You mean I'm not your best friend? I'm not like you? Because you're my best friend.
So that's what I, you know, I'm insecure and I need approval.
Yeah, I don't want anything in my life that can't be toilet trained in 18 months. It's really that simple. So absolutely no dogs whatsoever. I tried it once. I tried it again. And I keep having to give them away before they turn 2 years old.
Cats, they never cats got the housebroken?
No, they get housebroken, but you have to go out in 0 degree weather.
Oh, so it's something that requires effort is the issue.
It's not effort. It's, okay. It's about disgust.
It's about.
All right, cats won the round. Give us
cats
another one.
Cats won the round. And I should say, I generally do have opinions on these things, but I never share what my opinion is on Facebook.
Right.
So people don't feel like I've got a. And I have a dog and a cat. Mm. So I'm perfectly balanced on this particular
one. Do you have a preference?
Dogs. and I would not have said that before.
Well, now
I had
it's a dog.
Dog.
We have to talk to this guy in the chair.
Yes. All right. Next one. So they're going to yell after. So I should.
Okay. Okay.
I left that last one up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So brownies versus chocolate chip cookies.
Okay, panel.
You must choose.
Here we go.
Rich should go first.
I'm laughing too much. For me, it's going to have to be chocolate chip cookies because there's less chocolate in them, and I think chocolate is just an awful, awful food.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm going to own that. I've been discarded in my life because of that, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay, well, for me, are we talking about raw or cooked?
See, oh. I never elaborate, so you've got to.
All right.
Wait. Raw? These things have eggs in them, don't they?
Yeah, it's fine. It's not a big deal. I when it comes down to it, I got to go with chocolate chip cookies.
All right. I have to go with chocolate chip cookies, too. And the reason is, and I think it's sort of my puritanical background, I feel like you earn the chocolate. So I'm not like Rich. I want the chocolate. But you sort of earn it, and it comes in the context of sort of other stuff. And it's really great when you get the chocolate part. And it feels like more of a brownie. It's just like they're just pumping chocolate into your mouth.
Yeah. Right. Could be a blondie, though.
Or
could
chocolate
be.
Chip
there's,
brownie.
Yeah, there's stuff they can do. Yeah. But I assume when we say brownies, we're talking about the platonic ideal of the brownie, which is just a chocolate thing.
Yeah, although some people will make brownies with walnuts, which I don't particularly like.
Yeah, that's brown.
And I like them when they have chocolate chips in them.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
A little something extra.
A little something extra.
Okay, you want to set another one up?
Sure. Next one is pancakes versus omelets.
All right, panel.
You must choose.
Oh, God. Okay, so hard. It's sweet and salty. I need both. Mm-hmm. It's sweet and savory. But I'm going to have to go with omelets because of the hangovers. I just, you know, when you have a hangover, you need the omelet.
Oh, really? I would go with a pancake for a hangover.
Yeah. Really? You don't go with sugar. You go with, like, fat and salt.
You want me to go next? So you want to play cleanup here? Or
I could go either way.
Okay. I'll go. Pancakes are disgusting, all right? They're just disgusting things. There's no reason for them to exist. There's no reason for you to eat them. You know, an omelet obviously is a thing of infinite possibilities, and you could put wonderful stuff in it. And so, yes, it's got to be omelets.
Can I inquire how you feel about waffles and
French
toast?
Oh, they're disgusting, too. It's
all of them? Anything you put maple syrup on?
Disgusting, nasty stuff, yeah. No point in it.
No sweet breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, so for me, it's complicated. It's complicated.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm not allowed to eat it right now, really. So I have to go with pancakes because whenever I think of pancakes, I see this face of this sweet, darling little 8-year-old boy that eats a stack that's like up to my knees practically every day. And on account of my son, Sawyer, we're going pancakes all the way.
All right.
All right. All right.
So how did that come out? Let's see. Omelet pancakes.
Yes. Yeah. So omelets have won this all round right. of You Must Choose.
It's only because of Julia's wanton drinking that happened. She joins right. AA. The whole thing just like reversed.
I'll let you know. Yeah.
Okay. So this one you guys have not been prepped for.
This is a brand new.
Okay.
And I want to thank my friend Anne McLaughlin who sent this to me today. Her son Nate was struggling with this decision this morning. Cheez-Its versus Goldfish.
Oh. Wow.
You must choose.
Sorry, I was typing sorry back into the computer. I don't know. Somebody else go. I don't know. Where
it's
am I going to go?
Absolutely Cheez-Its. There's no question about it. I mean, I'll do the Goldfish if I have to. First of all, it looks like an animal. There's no point in that. But the Cheez-It is significantly crunchier. You don't need, like, and if you leave the Cheez-It out, it remains crunchy.
Oh, Cheez-It. I thought it was Goldfish versus Jesus.
Jesus.
That's much.
That's a little. You were having difficulty
did
with
you really
the other
think
ones?
I was doing Goldfish crackers versus our Savior?
I didn't.
Sorry, Julia.
I didn't really think that was a joke.
Anyway, so Julia.
Totally disagree. You got to go Goldfish all the way. There's way too much fake cheesy flavor in Cheez-Its. It's just gross and they're too thin, and I love the crunch of the
and
Goldfish.
And are we assuming that it's cheddar Goldfish?
I assumed it was. I mean, okay. That's really the only, yeah. You know.
I mean, there are varieties of both, but the Cheez-It varieties are gross.
The rainbow one's basically cheddar, but rainbow.
Yeah, they're just colored, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they have gay pride.
I'm being told, first of all, that Julia Child put out a bowl of Goldfish at the beginning of every dinner party.
That's awesome.
I feel like Goldfish promise you more than they give you, you're right? It just it really is a pretty static experience. Whereas the Cheez-It, not that I've had one in a while, but I feel like there more goes on, you know? There's the feeling of the Cheez-It kind of crunching and then getting a little soggier in your mouth. Mm-hmm. This feels like the food schmooze all of a sudden. I really like to leave the Cheez-It on my tongue for about 20 seconds. Anyway, I could say
Cheez-It has a higher sodium delivery system.
Oh, good.
Now, do we have time for one more for this segment?
Yes, I think we're doing pretty well. There's somebody wants to weigh in on, can we go back to, let's just do it. Somebody wants to go back to pancakes versus omelets. Oops, he hung up. He got mad.
Or hungry.
He got mad. People do that. They get mad on this
maple
show.
Maple syrup
all right, we do have one more time for one more in this category, I will say.
Okay. We just talked about this one before we went live, and that is Trader Joe's versus Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Julie and I are in exactly the same place here.
We are.
Should we go first and then?
Sounds good, yeah.
I'll clean up.
All right.
Well,
you go
at the
same
time. My answer is I am so ashamed to say because I really want it to be Trader Joe's, but it's Whole Foods.
Yeah, here's how I see this. It's Whole Foods for me, too. And I think the important part of our answer that Julie and I are giving together is we do have shame.
Right.
We have shame. But the truth is, like, I don't know about you, but I'm going to probably drive a semi-crap car for a lot of my life. And there's going to be a lot of other things like that. But I can go to Whole Foods and I can get some fairly nice stuff. And then it all fits into one grocery bag and costs $117. But I mean, I can do that, you know. And whereas Trader Joe's, it seems, well, actually, let's let Rich talk about Trader Joe's.
You know, the beauty of Trader Joe's is that if you don't really care about food all that much, it's your place to feel like you're
stepping
I think that's
up.
A,
oh, that's me.
I think that's really a slogan they tried out for a while, actually.
And I just really don't care about food. And so there's two things. I don't care about food, and I get massively overstimulated in places like Whole Foods. It's just too much information for me. So I kind of need that Stu Leonard's thing where you walk me through a corral so that I have limited options.
Third option.
Yeah.
Oh, we could have done a third option Leonard's. Plus you get more free food there.
Way more.
Right, yeah. But so the elimination
absolutely.
Of multiple choice is a big part of the thing for you.
That's my thing. I don't want to think about food.
All right.
And I don't want to think about gas.
Grandmaster of You Must Choose, I feel as though we may have to take a little break here. Is that okay?
Would that's fine. Right. I choose to allow it.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
You must choose. You must choose.
And And we're back. We're back to You Must Choose, an exciting program hosted by Jacques Lamar. I'm his sidekick, Colin McEnroe. We're going to go now into a different round. It's going to involve entertainment, actors, personalities, movies, and stuff like that. And Jacques, just to get everybody in the mood, let's hear the voices of our first choices.
Did you order the code red?
There is no nobility in poverty.
Help me, Rod. Help me. Help you.
Once an idea has taken hold in the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate.
Portia, there is no substitute.
I'm the king of the world!
Show me the money!
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
So, of course, it's Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
Which I have not done a You Must Choose on.
No.
All right. So, do you want to say anything before
all right.
we go?
Well, I watched Titanic recently after the Oscars. I felt like I kind of wanted to go back and revisit that film. And I was trying to think of, like, who's a male actor of that same kind of stature. And I thought of Tom Cruise. So I did Leonardo DiCaprio versus Tom Cruise.
So, okay, first of all, panel... Now you must choose. I didn't set that up right.
Should we yell at ourselves here?
Also, right. If you want to call in on this one, but your behind has to get to the phone right now, 860-275-7266. So we know how this is going to come out from prior deliberation, and we're in a weird position because our room here is tilted the opposite way from the way the world is tilted. But Julia, I think the world sides with you, so you go first.
Usually.
And you explain.
Well, it's Leo. I mean, he's an actor. He's an actor's actor. I mean, has he done a lot of, you know, not great things? Absolutely. But, I mean, he is an actor. He's proved himself. And I just cannot stand to look at Tom Cruise, let alone watch him or listen to him.
So it wasn't a hard choice for you this time.
It was not a hard choice.
Now, do you think that Scientology factors into that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
That's
checking.
Interesting because I have the exact opposite feel. Every time I see Leo, short of Gilbert Grape, you know, that was the last good thing that Leo did in
which
my
was like
my
the
universe.
First thing that he ever did.
Exactly. And he should have stopped right then. And in fact, he doesn't seem very much different from that character and the stuff that he's been doing lately. It's just like, I don't know. He's just too pretty.
Here's my thinking about this. First of all, as my son points out, Leo's basic great moment is always he's at the end of his wits, right? He's just at the end of his rope. That's it. He's run out. That's the Leo acting thing. And I don't really see like a lot of other notes on his piano. Whereas Tom Cruise, you know, everybody always says comedy is hard. Well, Tom Cruise, like right up to Tropic Thunder, where he does this like insane comic caricature, and in weird roles like Magnolia. And then, you know, I mean, William Goldman famously said that in Rain Man, the hard part was the Tom Cruise part, that once Hoffman, you know, mastered the mannerisms of his character, Tom Cruise is the guy who's got to sell this whole idea, kind of be a bridge to us. So yeah, I'm actually solidly with Tom Cruise. No diss to Leo, but we should say that the world is with you, Julia.
Yes, usually. Yeah.
But I had to remind people because they were like, "Oh, he's not a real actor." Tom Cruise has had three Academy Award nominations.
Born on the 4th of July is a like very
amazing.
Serious.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I think his ability to pick projects or the projects he's gotten offered has changed dramatically from the 80s and 90s. And I think Leonardo DiCaprio does get those either has better taste in his roles now or gets offered more interesting things. But Leonardo does have an Oscar and has been nominated 5 other times.
Right.
I guess here's the thing, right? So I take a look at Leo and he delivers a solid performance, right? But he always feels miscast. You know, he always feels either just like way too young or just...
You don't see him getting attacked by a bear?
No.
No.
God, no.
All right. Well, Catch Me If You Can, that's a fine movie. And actually, a little watched Leo movie is Body of Lies with him and Russell Crowe. And he's at the end of his rope for the entire movie. He's really mad. And he's kind of funny. All right. So what's next?
All right. We are going to go. We're going to put some legends against each other here.
Okay. Let me do a clip first to set up these two legends. So I think we're on – or where are we? We're on beat. Okay. You got it. You know what we're doing.
Try hard. Ah, yes. There she is.
The guilty wife.
The dingo took my baby.
Now I hope you realize that you've made a perfect spectacle of yourself. Have you finished?
But I do know how to boil an egg.
Easy to handle, quick to the helm, fast, bright. Everything a boat should be.
Why is no one ready?
Don't forget to throw me over your shoulder and burp me after lunch.
Okay, so Laverne or Shirley? No, that's not
you. You must choose.
All right, so Jacques.
Meryl Streep versus Katharine Hepburn.
All right. So, by the way, once again, if you want to try to chime in by phone, dial right now, 860-275-7266, because we will be moving on. So, Rich, I think you need to go first.
I'm going with Meryl Streep. If the category is acting chops.
Elaboration is not provided. You have to make your own.
I'm going with Meryl Streep then. I'm going with Meryl. I'm committing to it. I think that Meryl has diversity. She's got range. I can't listen to her do an Oscar speech, but beyond that, she's hitting all the cylinders. I think Catherine sits as a representative of a genre and a way of acting that I could never really relate to.
I would 100% agree. Yep. Meryl Streep she's a chameleon, and that's amazing. And Katharine Hepburn, I was actually rewatching some stuff recently, and I love her, but she does the same thing every time.
All right. So I'm going to go in a different direction. And obviously, I want to sort of buttress this by saying you can't really argue against the acting chops of Meryl Streep. She is kind of the alpha and the omega of her generation. But I have this argument that the world would be a better place in some ways if Meryl Streep did not exist. Whereas, I know, this is apostasy, but, you know. And the reason is because she has become the alpha and the omega, and she just eats up everything. So if Meryl Streep did not exist, for example, Joan Cusack would have played Julia Child in that movie. It was originally a Joan Cusack project. I would have liked to see I'd like to see Joan Cusack in five more movies than I've seen her in. And if Meryl Streep gets every big role, then that's not going to happen. Or Julia, being a theater person, would probably know that if Meryl Streep did not exist, Kate Nelligan would have played the lead role in Plenty, which David Harris played. She played the lead role on stage. But that was not available to Kate Nelligan because Meryl Streep is the Tyrannosaurus Rex. If she wants it, she gets it. So I feel like I would see more actors, you know. I would see more actors, whereas I don't feel the same way about Hepburn. I think the world would be a worse place if Hepburn never existed, because she really did kind of pioneer a certain kind of style for female actors that, you know, in a lot of ways made a lot of other things possible. So there you go.
And just to preface, that was picked the day after the Oscars, because Meryl Streep is the most nominated actor of all time, and Katharine Hepburn is the most awarded actor of all time, and second place for nominations. Now we're going to throw a little curveball here with Audrey Hepburn versus Katharine Hepburn. Yeah. Let's see if this changes people's opinions.
It's all about Audrey Hepburn.
Me too.
She's just lovely. and that's all. And that's all it comes down
you
to.
You can't even go that's with the hometown girl on this one.
No, man. No. I mean, everybody do themselves a favor. Google Katharine Hepburn fashion and Google Audrey Hepburn.
Well, if you're
going to
make it about that, that's not fair.
I'm making it about iconography. I'm making it about being an icon.
Katharine Hepburn had a very the Historical Society did an exhibit her.
Yeah.
Of her
she was like the first
clothing
pants.
And costume. Right. Yeah, she was pretty amazing in that regard. So she had a very definite style as well. I mean, Audrey Hepburn you could put in a gunny sack and she'd look amazing.
There you go.
Yeah. Very true.
I mean, I'll stick with Katharine Hepburn. I don't even really have a really well-constructed rationale for this, because I'm a big admirer of Breakfast at Tiffany's and Charade is a terrific. But I feel like I could put other actresses into those roles and probably get – you know, pretty cool performances. Whereas you can't substitute anybody for Katharine Hepburn. Either you get her or you just don't do it.
You know, you make a
kind of
point
there. Because she always plays herself. Hmm. Hmm? Because she always played herself.
Well, exactly. To a certain degree, yeah.
And I could see Natalie Woods in Breakfast and Tiffany.
Yeah.
Breakfast at Tiffany. Really so easy. But that doesn't take away from Audrey.
I got it. All right. So next one, the Marx Brothers versus the Three Stooges.
All right. There wasn't a clip that goes with this anyway. All right. So
you must choose.
There's that clip, yeah. I don't know. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I feel as though it is the Marx Brothers. I mean, the Marx Brothers, in some ways, the work that they – the pioneering work that they did with language, with a certain kind mm-hmm. of joke, with a – you know, we did a show about puns a while ago, and I realized that – you know, Groucho just is like has puns pouring out of him, and most people kind of cringe when they hear puns. But these puns are really, really funny. And I know there's some revisionist thinking about the Three Stooges, but I don't think there's enough to cancel out the really kind of almost iconic qualities of the Marx Brothers. I might be missing something, but this was kind of an easy one for me.
I'm right there with you. It seems like to me the Three Stooges are a one trick pony, right? It's all about, you know, the side gag, but the Marx Brothers brought these dimensions to it that are that still influence the really good comedy right now. I mean, take a look at the kind of communication range that you get out of Harpo, right? Mm-hmm. A guy that doesn't say a word, you know, and how that's influenced some really funny bits that are still going on, that are still playing out right now. They endured a heck of a lot better. And give me more for my buck.
Before Julia goes, because I feel like she's going to go Marx Brothers, if you want to call in and make a case for the Three Stooges, do it right this very second. 860-275-7266. 860-275-7266. If you want to make an argument for the Three Stooges. All right, Julia.
All right, this is really, really hard.
It is.
And yeah, and very, as I said, I think earlier, very important to my people. Three Stooges, I disagree. I think they have absolutely laid a landscape for slapstick and physical comedy. I think most people can't do it nearly as well as they did, and that's really why it's hard. But I do have to say that there's a broader reach in terms of the what the effect that they've had on comedy with the Marx Brothers. I gotta do that.
Yeah. All right. So that was a fairly easy one.
That was a fairly easy one.
It was a gimme.
Although I would pick Curly opposite in terms of like just sheer funniness opposite Groucho.
Really?
Oh, he's so funny. He is so funny. All right.
Are we moving on to classic movies? Is that where we're going next?
A classic movie versus a classic TV series.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So let's hear the clip, and that would be, I believe, B3, Wolfie, that sets this up.
Is this how you turn down a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do? What can I do?
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
You don't ask for respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather.
I'm going to tell you this once. It's over. You drop it. And frankly, you should be very happy I'm not going to tax you.
You're not going to believe this. He killed 16 Czechoslovakians. Guy was an interior decorator.
When's the last time you had a prostate exam?
Hey, I don't even let anybody wag their finger in my face.
Okay, so everybody loves Raymond versus Biodome with Pauly Shore. I'm not even sure that's the name of the movie. Okay,
right.
So yeah, go ahead. Set us up here.
The Godfather movies versus The Sopranos.
You must choose.
So, and that's the trilogy, unless we want to lop off part three.
No.
All right. Versus the series of The Sopranos.
Well, that's sort of a poison pill you're putting in there. Mm. I still think this is very hard.
I think it's unfair. Hardest one. This is really the hardest one.
I think it's not right.
There's no such thing as unfair. We're in the universe.
You can do the apples versus oranges. No, you can say I'm comparing apples and apples or something. But
yeah, I'm throwing it down. Godfather. I'm being decisive today.
You're being decisive.
Yeah. So what I was thinking is if tomorrow I had to just watch one of these and never be able to see the other one again, which would it be? It would be The Godfather. All in a row.
Okay. Julia,
I just want to see James Caan do his thing again.
Mm. They're just so different. I mean, they represent so many. Godfather is you know, it's the Godfather.
You must choose.
Oh! Sorry. How much are we going to pay for that?
That's right. I think it comes right out of your point total.
Okay. Sopranos.
Sopranos?
Yeah.
So make the argument. Make the case.
Oh, the acting, the writing, the how many seasons they were able to take it and keep me completely riveted, and rooting for this horrible, horrible human being. you know, I just, as an actor, got to go with that.
I'm going to go. I mean, it's a very difficult one. There is no right or wrong answer, I don't think. But I think you don't understand American culture if you don't watch The Godfather. Mm. You know, there's just so much in there, ranging from tropes and sayings and things that kind of take over. And quick story. I was, over the New Year's weekend, I was visiting friends in Rhode Island, and I got sent into Stonington, and I was told to try to get the 5-pound package of shrimp at Bomster's. My host is Mr. Karp, one of my college friends. And so I go to Bomster's, and I say, "Do you have the 5-pound bag of shrimp?" And the guy says, "No, we don't have it." And he said, "Do you want anything else?" And I said, "No, Mr. Karp is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately." it's like there's so many of those. This is the business we've chosen, you know. Yeah. I just feel like you can't understand this country without watching The Godfather and knowing The Godfather, where I think, you know, The Sopranos is essential in a different way. But that's where I came out. Do you have anything to say about this category or anything more you want to say? Because Tony would like to talk about the Three Stooges.
Oh, all right. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Not Tony Soprano. I just want to – hi, Tony. You're on the air.
That's me, Tony Soprano. No, hi, Colin.
Yeah.
I just want to say the Three Stooges are dear to my heart. And I think the Marx Brothers are great. Except I watched this weird sitcom with Groucho Marx where he played like this rich country club guy. And it kind of turned me off to him a little bit. But the Stooges, to me, are just, when I think about the Stooges, I laugh. And they're just funny. They're pure humor. It's something so basic that, you know, you don't, it can't be really, I don't think, put into words too much. But but to me, the Three Stooges are what are humor. And that you can't, you know, they're pure.
All right.
You can't,
Tony, I think that needed to be said. And I'm so glad that you did say it. All right, so where are we at right now? We can do a little bit more in this category, I think.
Okay. The next one seems like it's kind of rolled out in stages, but should we go into the Bat Cave?
Yeah, we can go into the Bat Cave.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you mean just conversationally. I thought you were inviting us.
Yes, all right. So do you have clips or no?
We do not have clips.
Okay. All right, so we're going to do maybe a lightning round to try and fit these all in. So probably not a lot of elaboration.
Okay.
In terms of your Batman of choice, would you choose Christian Bale or Michael Keaton?
It's gonna be
you sad. Must choose.
Just super fast?
Yeah.
Christian Bale. He's the Lego Batman still.
I got to go with Keaton. Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale, I do have to say one thing. Like in the first movie, Jack Nicholson, who's like out of shape and has this little kind of pot belly and he's the Joker, he's like whooping Batman's butt. You know, he's like beating on Batman. Mm-hmm. That's why Michael Keaton's a bad Batman.
Well, should we jump then to your Joker of choice?
You're the master.
Which would be the options being Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger.
You must choose.
All right. Well, I have to preface this by saying I actually really know very little about this whole topic, but I live with a bunch of nerds, so I'm going based on them. And I would say Ledger.
Absolutely Ledger. Hands down, Ledger.
The first time that I saw that movie in the movie theater, there was a moment where I thought that Heath Ledger was going to be sitting next to me in the row as well as up on the screen and was going to turn to me and go, "How are you liking it now?" You know, there's a way in which he's like almost not contained by the movie. He's jumping off the screen at you. So, yeah, Ledger.
Absolutely.
What if I threw Cesar Romero in there?
Ledger.
Yeah. Still? All right. Now, okay.
But I'd like to see you.
But
I'd like
to see the votes.
I got to tell you, though, the issue, though, with when you start throwing in Cesar Romero, Adam West. Yeah. Now, if you did the pairing of Cesar Romero and Adam West, they'd beat any other pairing.
And a nice Pinot Noir.
Gotcha.
Right.
That's right. The only thing I understood in that sense.
All right. Your Catwoman of choice, I'm going to make this three. Julie Newmar, Michelle Pfeiffer, or Eartha Kitt?
You must choose.
So ahead,
before doing this, I Googled all of the Eartha Kitt Catwoman clips, and there's nothing in the world that's better than that. I mean, it's better than Audrey Hepburn.
Ooh.
I got no business answering this question. I really don't. But
You can pass if you need to.
Okay, good. I'm going to pass.
All right.
Because I didn't know Eartha Kitt was – I didn't, you know.
I just have to say a very quick thing.
You've been shamed.
So when I was a kid, little kid, I used to watch Hollywood Squares. And occasionally – and so one day Eartha Kitt was on and she was like maybe in the upper left square. And she just looked like crap. And she's smoking a cigarette there inside the square. And Peter Marshall or whatever his name was said, "So what's going on with you?" And Eartha Kitt said, "A little too much Christmas."
A little too much Christmas.
I can't pick against Eartha Kitt, even if she's like maybe, you know, a presidential running mate. I would have to probably, you know. So yeah, Eartha.
All right. Do we have? Are we going to break?
I think we should go to a break. Yes. All right. So if that's okay, we're going to go to. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We have a very interesting situation here where somebody wants to pose a "You Must Choose" to us.
Oh. Sure.
All right. Let's do it. We're ready. That's how nimble we are.
Yes.
All right. So, Christian, what have you got for us?
All right. The Office versus Parks and Rec.
You must choose.
No contest. Office. Every day.
Oh,
Office.
No.
I could only watch 2 seasons of Park and Rec, and I was like, yeah, I'm done with this.
In my house,
I mean, two episodes, not even 2 seasons.
I have literally, my children have watched the whole entire Office series at least 3 times each.
Yeah. It's quotable.
I think I can do Parks and Rec. I think there's a little – to me it's – but I don't really know The Office. I know the Ricky Gervais Office better. But I do think there's sort of a lot of stuff going on in The Office. And also think about it. I guess in each case, both of them were sort of crucibles for a lot of careers. You know?
The casting is amazing in both shows.
Yeah.
True.
I mean like Adam Scott. Anyway, so but you should do one. You should have to choose here.
I would say The Office.
Okay.
The American Office. Yes.
All right. We've done it. We've taken something from a listener. We haven't screwed it up too badly. Now we're going to take a break.
You must choose. You must choose. You must choose.
Did Jonathan McPants produce the show, or was it Sarah Koenig? Kyone Wolfe or Bill Curtis? Amanda Fish or SpongeBob SquarePants? Kayla Thomas or Robert De Niro? Was the part of Bill Curry played by Pete Davidson, or was it the other way around? On tomorrow's show, an episode about truth decay, or is it about lies? And now, back to Jacques. Or is it Colin?
Well, it's both of us, basically. But yes, welcome back to You Must Choose. The first time this game show has ever been on the air. Maybe the only time this game show has been on the air. I don't know. We don't know we can't know the future. We can only know the present. So Jacques Lamar, the host of You Must Choose, also is the inventor of You Must Choose. And with us in studio, Julia Rosenblatt and Rich Holland. So where are we going now?
This segment we are going to be doing music, which is always a hot topic on You Must Choose Land. Now, this first one was, I think, probably the one that got the most responses, and I think it was the one where you got most actively involved, Colin.
Yes, and let's hear a little clip that sets this up. Oh, we don't have this. It's C1. You don't have C1? All right, we don't have a clip. Never mind.
Okay. All right, so this one's 3. Carly Simon versus Carole King versus Joni Mitchell.
You must choose.
So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. People are going to hate me, but I never liked Joni Mitchell's voice. I like her songs, don't like her voice. And between Carole King and Carly's voice also sometimes bothered me. So they've all got great songs, but I'm going to go with Carole King.
All right. Before we go to the next ones, we actually located the clip. Why not play it? All right, you must choose. By the way, 860-275-7266 if you want to participate. So, Rich, do you want to go next?
The answer right now just changed because it's going because it's going to be whoever I heard last. But I think
Do
if
you
I
know
could,
who you heard last?
That sounded like Joni to me.
There you go. So she. What was it before?
It was going to be Carly. It was going to absolutely be Carly. Because there's a I was about to say that unlike Julia, I just do not like Joni Mitchell's delivery. And then I just heard that, and it's like, oh, no, actually, I love Joni Mitchell's delivery. It's pretty awesome. Maybe it's Carly Simon's delivery I don't like.
And Julia, you changed as well.
No, I'm gonna stick with it, but it got hairy there for a bit.
Okay.
All right, so this was, I thought, a great category, a great you must choose, whatever it is, because I worship all of these women, and I just think they're all very, very amazing. I can tell a quick story. So right after the election in 2016, I got really, really sick, which in a way I thought was connected to the election. I just like had 104 fever for days and days, and I had to cancel a whole bunch of things. And one of them was eventually I had to cancel being on stage interviewing Carly Simon in front of an audience. But the day of the event, my phone rang, and that voice went, "So I understand you're supposed to be my father for the afternoon." And I thought, wow. I don't know what that means, but I really want to do it. So that was hard, but I had to not do that. I think she's great. I think Carole King is great. I think Joni Mitchell is a titan. And, you know, there's her 30 best compositions, and they're amazing. But then the next 30 best compositions are amazing. And then the next 30, you know, you go from those early things to through Night Ride Home. There's just like, you know, her best 90 songs are really, really good and profoundly different from how anybody else writes songs. And so it's Joni all the way.
All right. Is there a clip for the next one?
I believe there is a clip for the next one. So why don't you just play the clip, Wolfie, and then we'll organize ourselves. Who wants to go first? Rich, you should go first.
I'm all about this. As much as the Stones are titans, it is all about the boss. The reason I picked up a guitar and played it for the first time was listening to Bruce Springsteen.
Did you make it talk?
I made that guitar talk. I learned how to make it talk. And it was all about the boss. It was about the street poet. It was about that stinky Jersey Shore, and it was about this trouble of articulating love, and in a way that that ended up making to me folks like the Stones seem insincere.
That was almost turning into a Bruce Springsteen song at a certain point when you were doing that. I'm going to let Julia do cleanup. I'm going to say it's also Bruce Springsteen for me. I'm generationally poised to be a Rolling Stones fan, but for whatever reason, I'm not. I don't seek out their music. And I do, like, half of the Bruce Springsteen canon to me is just essential and amazing in all of the ways that Rich was saying. I do sometimes feel that there's sort of like a Bruce obligation. It's like people, oh, he's in town, you got to go. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. It's going to be amazing.
And the Current is guaranteed to do a front page story on it like he's never been here before.
And yeah. And so there's sort of a way in which I feel like, you know how he always like throws himself into the crowd and they surf him around? I feel like I've been doing that sometimes. Like I have to lift Bruce Springsteen a lot. But still, he is the alpha and the omega.
Yeah, I'm going to totally disagree. I love him, Bruce. I love everything he stands for. I agree with everything you're saying. But musically, hands down for me, it's the Stones.
All right.
And that was one. That was a classic. You're comparing apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. One, but I was trying to think. Obviously, the obvious one is the Beatles versus the Rolling Stones, and I didn't want to be obvious about it. And I wanted to pick like a British Titan and an American Titan to put together. And I was actually folded in the E Street Band as well, because I think both of them now really primarily exist as live events to see them on tour. There are people who will buy completists who will get their latest work, but it's not quite as essential. So,
so we're running out of time. Do you want to go youth and do?
All right.
The, yeah.
So we're going to go slightly younger. Well, actually, if we have room for two quickies.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do NSYNC versus the Backstreet Boys.
You must choose.
I'll go first. I always sort of said, you know, it's not what you do as so much as can you do the thing that you claim to be able to do? And I always thought that NSYNC could do the things that they claim to be able to do, where I was, my jury was much more out about the Backstreet Boys.
In order to choose, I would have to be able to tell them apart, and I cannot.
What?
Sorry.
What?
Sorry.
All right, Rich.
So the guy, I may choose for you then.
The guy who picked up a guitar because of Bruce Springsteen really didn't listen to a lot of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. However, it's Backstreet Boys.
It is the Backstreet Boys.
Is there a particular rationale though?
Yeah, I just like it a little
you
bit better.
Want,
I just
you,
can't
you
get
it. You just want it that
little
way?
Yeah.
You just want it that way? All right.
There you go. That song alone. That song alone. All right. Last one. This one came courtesy of Rich yesterday when we were talking about our options. Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj.
You must choose.
But we're not putting Ariana Grande in.
We are not putting in Ariana Grande.
All right. But while you're deliberating, somebody named Matthew Brand, when you had it on your site as Ariana Grande versus Nicki Minaj, wrote, Ariana Grande sucked in Hairspray. Nicki Minaj's music is annoying. I choose death. That was a really good
Matthew Brand is a little cantankerous.
That's a good answer.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to go with Cardi B. And neither of them because of the music, but because of the space that they're filling in culture.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very hot topic in my house. We had a whole dinner conversation about it last night. I've got a 13-year-old daughter. Let's see. First, I'm going to say that we're pitting two pioneering female artists together, and I'd rather not do that at all, but since you're making me do it, I'm going to say Nicki Minaj is the better lyricist, maybe the better performer. But Cardi B, as my daughter says, is just more down to earth.
Mm-hmm. That's one way of saying it. Yeah, I feel as though, and I don't pretend to be an expert on the work of Nicki Minaj, and I feel like it's sort of like Bruce Springsteen. I feel like she's you have to major or take a course in Nicki Minaj to kind of get the whole thing. Whereas Cardi B, I think I can sort of understand pretty much where she's coming from and what she wants me to know about and what she wants to talk about. And I also feel like, you know, I don't know, there's something stressful about Nicki Minaj, right? Mm-hmm. And like stressful things come up around Nicki Minaj.
Maybe
that's okay, except I don't need more stress. We're back to cats and dogs. We're back to cats and dogs. She's a cat. Cardi's a dog. I want the dog.
There. You want the stripping dog. our resident young person, Sky Casper, has selected Nicki Minaj as his choice.
All right.
So.
Interesting.
So we're pretty much out of time here. I don't think we can start a new one. Have we learned anything? This is like no learning, no hugging. Is it like Seinfeld or
There really isn't any learning or hugging. I mean, I think at a certain point, Rich had said that he really likes being kind of confronted with this binary choice of you know, black or white, this or that, what have you. And a friend wrote to me, and I took this as a real compliment. And people will write to me and say, "Hey, you ought to do this category," like the gentleman who called in.
Yeah.
With The Office and Parks and Rec. That's a great one. I'm going to totally steal that. But you know, there was a friend who's like, at Thanksgiving dinner, we decided to do a round of You Must Choose just as like table fun.
You need a lawyer. You need a lawyer right now.
Yeah.
Wait.
You've got to get this under control or it is going to get taken away
from you. But before you get too excited about that, we've been playing this for years, but we call it Would You Rather.
Yeah. Mm. That's what we did.
All right. Gotcha.
Get
we
a lawyer.
That all
get
the
a lawyer. That's my advice. I'll get him for you. All right. So thanks to Jacques Lamar, playwright, director of client services at Buzz Engine, and of course, creator of that. Rich Holland, principal at CoLab. Julia Rosenblatt, playwright, director, actor, and theater educator. Thanks to everybody else who. You know, this whole thing feels very high fidelity, too. You know, you are what you like and all that kind of stuff. So High Fidelity or About a Boy. That'll be on our next episode of You Must Choose.
You must choose. You must choose. You must choose. You must choose.